Well, hello, haunters. Coming up on today's show, we have a postmortem report from Backwoods Oddities Haunted House. But first, HauntCon is just 1 week away, and we have a preview of the keynote panel presentation. HauntCon is free to register, and the registration gets you access to the show floor and the meeting rooms and all of the education, including this upcoming panel. You'll be able to watch the panel on demand if you register in their platform, but you can also catch it live on Tuesday to kick off the show. And if you watch it live, you can ask questions and speak to the panelists directly. You can register right now at hauntcon.com. So let's get to that education preview. This is from Scott Swenson, as he is the moderator for the panel. And this panel is about the big pivots that we saw in 2020 and how you can incorporate some of those into your haunt planning for 2021.
Hi, my name is Scott Swenson, and I'm the owner and creative director for Scott Swenson Creative Development. I also host the podcast A Scott in the Dark, periodic podcast for haunters, and co-host Green Tagged Theme Park in 30. I am so excited because I want to make sure all of you know about HauntCon and the fact that it's going virtual this year. It is all going to be online. And the reason I'm here to talk about it is because I am facilitating a panel that is going to kick off everything. It is the keynote live panel for HauntCon virtual. And the panel discussion is called, I didn't think it was going to work, but it did. And it's all about success stories that came out of 2020. I mean, let's face it, we've all heard those horror stories that came out of 2020, and I don't mean the good kind. But this is all about things that haunters tried that they weren't sure whether they would work or not, and probably never would have tried had there not been a pandemic, but things that they actually discovered improved their overall experience, either made it safer or creepier, or certainly things that are going to stay on the table for years to come. Now, you may not know exactly what I'm talking about. Let me give you an example. One of the haunted attractions I consulted for in 2020 was a haunt called Undead in the Water, and it's at the American Victory Ship. This is on an actual floating World War II vessel, and we almost, like so many, decided not to run the event this year. But when we decided to move forward, we decided let's move forward in the safest possible manner. Now, the first thing we had to do was we had to address our overarching storyline. Now, this is the third year that Undead in the Water, as the name suggests, is a zombie-themed haunt. And this year was going to be all about overcoming the zombie outbreak. Sound familiar? So after we decided, all right, let's move forward with it, we tried to figure out how can we incorporate as many of the recommendations for safe guest interaction as we can and still keep it part of the story. So as guests boarded the ship, first of all, they were all required to wear masks, and we went to 100% time ticketing. Again, something that haunts have been trying to do for years, but because of the pandemic, I think a lot more people have accepted. Before they even got on the ship, we would have them participate in a test to see if they had been infected with the zombie plague. It was a gel that they put on their hands and rubbed it in. And if the gel turned blue, that meant that they had been infected. Now, obviously, none of our guests were infected, and we just got hand sanitizer on every single guest entering the experience. So we took applying hand sanitizer and made it part of the story. We also cast 6 different performers who were in full costume, hazmat suits, full zombie makeup, masks, but we also gave them real cleaning materials. We gave them rags and disinfectant, and they were free to roam throughout the entire ship, cleaning those frequently touched surfaces like hand railings and doorknobs, and then they could turn and startle and scare. So we were able to incorporate real-time cleaning of the experience with startle scares. And then, as guests left the experience, we told them, we've found the cure, and if you wish to be inoculated for the zombie plague, place your hands inside this machine. A liquid was sprayed on their hands, and then they could rub it in, and it would, as we told them, it would then go into their bloodstream. So yes, we put hand sanitizer on our guests as they left as well. Now, of course, we also separated our guests from our performers with masks and Lexan. And let me tell you, the sound of Lexan or plexiglass hitting a metal cage is a new sound that I will be using over and over again because it keeps the performers safe, it keeps the guests safe, and it makes a terrifying noise. But those are just a few examples of the kinds of things we're going to talk about in our keynote panel discussion on HauntCon Virtual, coming up, like I said, on January 19th at 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. And the coolest thing is, HauntCon Virtual is free, but you do have to register. So go to hauntcon.com for more information and to register. And hopefully, I will see you at the keynote panel discussion called, I didn't think it would work, but it did.
That was a preview of the panel, I didn't think it would work, but it did. Lessons learned from the 2020 haunt season, which will be moderated by Scott Swenson. The panel is on January 19th, which is 1 week from today, at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. You need to be registered to be able to watch the panel live or watch on demand, but you can do that for free at hauntcon.com. And now let's hear from Backwoods Oddities about their 2020 season.
Hey everyone, Maximus here from Ohio. I'm here to speak with a wonderful haunt owner after the 2020 season to get some of their thoughts on it. So all the way here from the last Carnival Haunted House is Mr. Alan Schell. How are you, sir?
I'm good. It's good talking to you, Maximus.
Very nice talking with you. For those that may not know stuff about your haunt, why don't you tell them a little bit about it?
We are a small haunt in Southern Ohio. We use a carnival theme. We've done that for several years. My daughter, Kimberly Schell, and I own and operate the haunt. And I say on the smaller side, it's about a half hour long attraction. We're indoor, outdoor. We raise money for Southern Ohio Survivors Cancer Foundation primarily and the Ross County Humane Society, the Huntington Huntsman Archery Team. And one of our ex-actors is actually going through cancer treatment right now, so we helped him out with some money towards getting transportation to and from his treatments, things like that.
What were some changes to your show that you had to make in order to meet maybe some of the requirements of this season?
This was a really crazy thing. All the way up until about a month before we actually opened, we didn't even know if we were going to be allowed to. Governor DeWine finally released guidelines for events, and we are small enough that we were able to fall within the guidelines without having to make a whole lot of major changes. Obviously, one of the first things that you would notice if you come to the show is we did temperature checks. We required face masks, and to promote people to wear face masks, we actually gave a dollar discount if you wore your mask. So anybody that brought their own mask got the tickets for $9. If you didn't bring a mask, we gave you one and charged you $10 a ticket. We had hand sanitizing stations throughout the haunt. All of our actors had hand sanitizer. We had to remove most of the high contact surfaces like our claustrophobia tunnel, our curtain flaps, and things like that to limit the amount of contact. Our zone leaders and our house people went through periodically about every 20, 30 minutes and sanitized any contact surfaces. We had to make costuming changes to accommodate for masks. Our asylum scene, that was pretty easy. We actually just plastered it off. We did face shields, welding helmets, and all different types of things that were face coverings that would be acceptable as costuming and not obvious that we were doing COVID precautions.
So. Mm-hmm. And did you have to adjust anything midway through the season or anything like that?
Since you were there on our first night, we made a lot of costuming changes as far as different types of masks, different ways of getting the actors more comfortable, wearing a mask for 4 hours, performing at high intensity, being sweaty, things like that, made it very difficult. We went to clear face shields for a lot of actors. There was a performance that we saw here in Columbus that used a half face shield that actually came from the chin up and covered the nose, so we incorporated some of those. And that allowed us to do full face makeups again. That was nice. On the customer end, we added signs throughout the haunt to remind people to wear their masks over their nose, over their face, and they would tend to get scared and want to pull their masks down. So with signs and actors reminding them, they were even able to work it into their bits along the lines of, you might be scared of COVID, but you should be scared of me too, but pull your mask up so neither one of us gets hurt, that kind of thing. As far as major scene changes, we had most of that worked out before the haunt actually started.
Even if you had people wearing the masks in the line, as soon as they came into the haunted house, some of them would pull it down. So your actors being able to make it work and do the reminders and reminding throughout the haunt, definitely a great effort to keep everybody safe. So with everything, what'd the audience think? Did they come out in numbers and did they love it? What was the response like?
This was our record season by far. I don't know if it's because everybody was pent up and finally got to get out to do things. One of the things for us, it was a 5-weekend season instead of a 4, but even at our 4 weekends, we broke our record attendance every night, and the crowds all seemed to be very happy when they got out. This was our first season that we had 0 negative complaints. Technically, we had 1. The girl complained that she got too scared, but I still take that as a positive. But
that's not a negative at all.
It was a 1-star, but it was the best 1-star rating I've ever gotten. So we had no negatives. Everybody felt safe. Everybody was comfortable. And one of the things that we added was a numbering system to keep social distancing. And that's something we're going to keep forever. We like that way that the crowds can mull around in the parking area, go to the concessions, things like that. And then they only get in line when their number is called or when it's actually projected on screen. And so then they have more free time and it doesn't seem like you're in line as long. So that's a great thing we're going to keep. With the numbering system and the crowds being able to float around, we're going to increase our queue line entertainment. We're going to increase the size of our concession stand, which we'll be able to bring back next year. This year we had to close because of COVID, but we're going to set up our merchandise and gift shop all together, and people will be able to float in and out and wander around. They're waiting for their numbers with added screens. That's another thing we're going to add, is more places for them to be able to track the numbers. Other than that, next year we're just ready to expand. We know we're going to be able to open next year, so we'll be able to invest in actually expanding. This year we changed some scenes, but we didn't do a lot of expansions. Most of our money went towards making the haunt safe.
Yeah. So it will end up being longer for next year?
Yeah, we've got 3 scenes that we're wanting to add for next season for sure. Nice. Yeah, they're going to be in the Pallet Maze area. Those that haven't been there, it's the second half of our haunt, basically. We're going to add 3 new scenes there, and they're going to be actual scenes to break up the monotony of the maze.
One thing I think I noticed when I walked through is you had a buddy system going where most actors had someone with them always. Is there a reason behind that?
Yes and no. A lot of the times you notice that it was an experienced actor with a newer actor, and that way the newer actors get more experience so we can actually staff the larger scenes. Mm-hmm. Plus, we try to get interaction from the audience, but you can't always get that. So with 2 people in a scene, if you have a group that's too scared to interact, etc., they can at least play off of each other to provide full entertainment. They can argue back and forth, et cetera, share lines, cooperate together to get the scare and to be able to direct the audience to where we need them to go.
I want to give a couple of actor shout outs myself, if I could, real quick. The first one, she was one of the clown girls in the UV room first. She was playing, she ran away, then she climbed up the wall. And the reason I want to shout her out is because when she came down from the wall with the mask covering her face, she came at me with a stalky yet playful look in her eye. And it, just based on her eyes, was enough to be like, you don't want to mess with her for too long. She was just a kid, but she did pretty well there. As far as with not having her whole face exposed, I think it went really well. And the other one I think will be Brother Pyro, because that was just a lot of fun.
I have to commend all of my actors for coming out this year and participating and potentially putting themselves at risk and still doing it with true passion. Actor that I don't always give appreciation to is Mopsy Topsy, or Beth. She works very well in our grinder room that was just handed to her last year, last minute, and she made it her own. She does really good in there. Full-size 6'3" bunny. He doesn't get enough attention also. Yeah. There's so many. I hate to just only name a few. Right. I appreciate all of our actors. I think they all do an amazing job. But those two have been with us for a very long time. Lucky has never missed a night in 9 years, 8 years, something like that. He hasn't missed a night. So that's pretty impressive.
That bunny, man. That's a great video clip, too. If you go see the video that I made, that's a great clip with the bunny in it. So that's fantastic. Where can people find information about the haunt and the links and or the pages? Where's everything at?
Easiest is to start with our website, www.bwohaunt.com. From there, you can find us on social media. We've got Facebook, Instagram. We're working on a YouTube page, and I don't understand Twitter. I'm not clever enough to say what I need to in 160 some characters, so we don't do Twitter. But that's the easiest. Like I said, we're on Facebook, Instagram, all over the place. If you follow us on Facebook, getting closer to the season, we do our free Friday giveaways. We give ticket giveaways. During build season, we do teaser shots of different things we're building. That's my primary social media platform is Facebook right now.
And that is it for today. From the Haunted Attraction Network, I'm Philip, and this was your Haunt News Briefing. Make sure you hit that subscribe button so you catch our shows every Tuesday and Thursday. And if you like this episode, please leave us a review in iTunes and share this episode with a friend. Today's episode was sponsored in part by Gantam Lighting and Controls. It was produced by me, Philip Hernandez, with post-production and editing by David Swope, and music provided by Chris Thomas. And if you want to be part of the conversation, join our Facebook group at Haunters Toolbox. If you have news or a story to report, drop me a line at philip@hauntedattractionnetwork.com. And until next time, everyone, stay scary.
This is a Haunted Attraction Network production.